Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and reading verses 13 to 16. A small passage about children and the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Then they," the parents, "brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them," his disciples, "let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. And then I'd like to turn back to Genesis, our father Abraham, in chapter 17, and just read in the first 14 verses. It says, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.' And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And also I will give you, to you and your descendants after you, the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.' And God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house, he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." So far the reading of God's word. I don't know whether the children have ever, well, probably they haven't, but watched, used to be a program, not that I was, you know, so much into watching the program, but the kids were. It was called, if I can remember right, Magic School Bus. Some people like it. And what it was a school bus, and the kids would go in there, and then they would travel. Time travel. And they would go to different places. A way of teaching them, getting kids interested, I guess. And so this morning, I'd like for us to imagine that in our minds, that we want to take a journey. We want to go all the way back to Abraham. Now, I know some people find that, you know, a little difficult. It's like, you know, you come to the Old Testament, like Area 51. Nobody wants to go there. It's all a secret. But it is the Bible, isn't it? All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. And nowhere do we read that in the New Testament, the door was shut on the Old Testament, we shouldn't go back to it. Nobody told the apostles that. And certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to the Old Testament many, 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 many times. So there was no inkling of the idea that somehow the Old Testament is no longer valid. It absolutely is. And so when we go back and we go to Abraham, I mean, surely there's something wrong with our understanding if we go back to Abraham and we're kind of uncomfortable. I mean, here's our great, 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 spiritually speaking, grandfather, right? The father of all believers. That's what the New Testament speaks to him, of him about. The father of all believers. And we go back and we see things that are happening and we feel uncomfortable. And you think, how can that be the case? Why would we feel uncomfortable? Jesus said about Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. There's no contradiction about the Lord Jesus Christ and Abraham. Absolutely none at all. So why would any of us feel uncomfortable? And yet many people are. Much of the church is uncomfortable. And if they were taken to this passage that we read in Genesis 17, they would be very uncomfortable. What are you doing to these children? They don't believe. Why are you giving them the sign? That's not appropriate. Dare any of us think that we would address Abraham that way? And teach him something? He was doing it all wrong? I trust not. But we begin here in the New Testament before we start our journey, or well, at least get into the New Testament first of all. And so here we are. The Lord Jesus Christ is going about his ministry, teaching people, and there are children that are brought to him. Little children. And the parents are bringing the little children to him. And they have something in mind. They want him to bless their children. They want him to take time out of his busy schedule. I mean, to talk about busy, there was nobody busier than the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted him to take time to consider their children, to take them up in his arms and to bless them. I mean, it wasn't that they wanted him to sign a book or something. They wanted a connection between their children and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what was the connection? I mean, why did they even think that was appropriate? I mean, who were these parents, first of all? They were Jewish. They were people that were part of the covenant of God. And they understood that their children were also included, as I've read from Genesis 17, and that their children had a part in the covenant with God. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the kingdom of God. And so they thought that was appropriate. After all, Jesus was very focused on Israel when the Syrophoenician woman asked for help. He kind of put it very bluntly. He said, it's not appropriate to take the bread, you know, that it meant for children and to feed it to the little dog. No, the Jews had a wonderful privilege. They were the people of God. They were the covenant people of God. And so their parents knew that their children were part of that. They had been for thousands and thousands of years. And so they thought it natural that they should bring their children to the Lord Jesus Christ, this Messiah. But not everyone thought that. In fact, the disciples saw that as quite odd. So if anyone was going to agree with people that don't see children as part and parcel of the covenant, would be them to associate themselves with the disciples, to say, quite right, quite right. Stop them bringing their children and interfering with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, what's going to be done? They can't understand anything. They were in their arms. They were small. And so the disciples thought it was a complete waste of time. And they stopped them. And they wouldn't let them, they hindered them. They wouldn't let them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees that happening. And he's most offended. He rebukes his disciples. And that in public. So it must have been some serious error on their part, some damage that they were doing, that the Lord Jesus Christ was not about to let go without addressing. It wasn't something peripheral. Otherwise, he would have waited till they were apart from the public and taught them that. And told them and put them right. But not this. Remember, Peter was challenged by Paul very publicly. Well, Paul, why don't you have some regard for Peter and do it in private? Because what was being done was so severe. He was undermining the gospel. And Paul was so concerned about the people that would be affected by his actions that he brought it out in public. And so did the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, do not hinder them. For to such belong the kingdom of God. And of course, we have to explain that away. We're not about to change our position, some people, and I know that because I was in that boat many, many years ago. We're not about to give up our position. So we said, well, Jesus was using them as an example, right? He's trying to teach that you have to be like little children, that you have to trust in the Lord Jesus, God, and put all your trust in him. That's the way you enter the kingdom of God. That's all he was saying. I mean, nothing further could be from the truth. It is true. I mean, you have to have that faith, like trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true. But then why take them up in his arms and bless them, go through the motions that mean nothing? No, it's not just that. We don't get to the truth of that passage by simply saying that. We skirt the truth. We do the same thing as the disciples. We hinder the children. But no, the Lord Jesus Christ took them up in his arms. You think the Lord Jesus Christ was just being sentimental? I mean, surely not. Jesus isn't that kind of a person. Just sentimental? Just put his hand on their heads and say, oh, you know, I hope everything goes well for you in your life. Is that what he was doing? Surely not. Surely not. He was echoing the words of God in Genesis 17 that I will make my covenant between you and your children. And they were to be circumcised. And they were to be circumcised the eighth day. No, they are part and parcel of the people. Not that they're Christians. We're not saying that they're Christians. I might continue to add. Because that's the charges that are laid. Otherwise, we wouldn't have profession of faith of our young people, would we? What reason would there be if we've already made them Christians? No. But they do have the blessings. They do have the wonderful environment in which to be raised and taught so that they may be made wise unto salvation. No, the Lord Jesus Christ sees it very appropriate that these parents be allowed to bring their children. Not just any parent, you understand. I mean, people can't walk off the street and say, oh, I found a church. And, oh, look, they do baptism. Can we have our children baptized? And they're not believers? We wouldn't do that. We'd say, no. You have no standing. But come to our church and learn. And when you become Christians, then your children do have a right. And we will baptize. And that's a privilege that we have as Christian parents, that God receives us and brings us into the covenant. And so when we go back, all the way back to Abraham, and we see this thing happening, then it's not strange to us. We don't say, Abraham, what are you doing? I thought you were much more informed than that. The Bible looks at Abraham very glowingly. There's no criticism of Abraham. In fact, he's one of the people that is are spoken about in terms of his great faith in Hebrews 11. In fact, as I said, he's given that title, the father of all believers. So when we go and see him and see this covenant that God is making with Abraham, then we truly understand the nature of what we have done this morning. God had said to Abraham and to all of us, I will be a God unto you and to your children. And to your children. And if someone comes to you and says, well, of course, that's true. He's a God to us and our children. And when they grow up and they learn about it and they believe, then they also will be received. Which would be fine if it weren't for the fact that the children are circumcised the eighth day. There's not just this general idea, or they're going to hear the gospel and somewhere down the road they're going to believe, and in that sense, well, then they're no different than the rest of the world, are they? I mean, the rest of the world hears the gospel and they believe. Are they the same as our children? There's no distinction between the children in the covenant and the unbelievers outside. Of course there is. We haven't got there yet in terms of Corinthians, but the next chapter we will. Chapter 7 does deal with that, where the form says that the children of believers are labeled holy, holy, sanctified, set apart. They are part and parcel of the people of God. That's the privilege that God gives to them. And so here we are, and here's Abraham. And God is making this covenant with him. And God says to him, that this is a sign. This is a sign that I have a covenant with you. You are to be circumcised. I mean, he was an old guy by that point. He had to be circumcised. And then others had to be circumcised. Children had to be circumcised. Males, 8 days old, had to be circumcised. And not only that, God extends his mercies so that all those children, all those people that were bought by Abraham's money and adopted, we might say, today, they were also circumcised. I mean, God is such a gracious God. All those that were part of Abraham's household were circumcised. So what we've done this morning extends, by the way, to children that are adopted by parents. So when Christian parents come and they've adopted children, we don't say, well, they're not your natural children, so that promise doesn't go to you. No. Right there in Genesis 17, that is covered as well. And so they were circumcised too. That was a sign. And so you should not be uncomfortable, and I should not be uncomfortable, and no Christian should be uncomfortable if they want to be consistent with the Scriptures. And so when we're there in our school bus and we get out and we see this thing happening, you should not feel some sort of tension inside you. We're not going to criticize Abraham, especially when the things that are happening are not Abraham's idea. He didn't come up with it. He didn't say, look, you know, God's made these points. I want everyone to have it. And so I'm going to come up with this. I've come up with this circumcision sacrament. And so I want everyone. He didn't come up with it. God did. If you want to criticize someone, criticize God. If you want to criticize someone in the passage that we read, then you're going to have to be criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he didn't want the children to be in. And so our question might be, what's the point? I mean, the children don't understand what's going on. What's the point? And what benefit do they get? Well, you know, the Bible answers that question. The Bible answers that question. Because Paul raises that question in Romans. When he's criticizing the Jews for claiming to be Jews and God's people, and yet they're not doing anything about it, not showing faith. He says, and you remember how much they trusted in circumcision. It's almost like we've been saved because we've been circumcised. And Paul says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so, given that approach, the question would be, then what was the point of being Jews? What was the benefits of being Jews? And sometimes when I speak to parents about baptism, then I raised this issue. I said, look, you know, with baptism, it's like if I said to you, you know, I'll pay for your children's Christian schooling, and you say to me, but will they graduate? And I say, well, can't really make that prediction. And then they say, well, take your money and get out of here. I'm not interested. Would we say that? Would any of us say that? No. No. So God is saying to you, you know what? I'm going to include your children in the covenant community. I'm going to give them the blessings of being raised in a Christian community, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the parents say to me, when I'm talking about baptism, but will they be saved? Will they come to faith? Will they graduate, you might say? And I say, well, I can't make predictions about that. We certainly pray for that, but I can't guarantee that. And then they say, well, then I don't want it. Then I see no point in it. Well, the scriptures tell us that there is a point. And Paul says there were many advantages of being Jews. There were many advantages of being circumcised and being in the covenant. They got the oracles of God. They were given the word of God. They were given the temple. They were given worship of God. They had the prophets. They had the priests. They had all the redemptive promises of God and acts of God accomplished in their midst. Do you think that is not a blessing? They saw the gospel at close range. They had front row seats. They had every encouragement to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in God. They saw the mighty hand of God at work, bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. They saw God speak, heard God speak from Mount Sinai. They received the law of God and the prophets that were there to guide them, to challenge them, to criticize them, to keep them in the way of holiness. That is not an advantage. We want our children to be open to the world and to be influenced by them and to be led in all kinds of ways. We want that environment for them to be raised in. God says, no. I don't want that environment for them. Bring them here. Bring them into the Let them see. Let them taste the good gift. Let them see it in action in the lives of God's people. Let them see the power of God unto salvation all around them. Let them hear the words of God in the scriptures, expounded and taught and exemplified in the lives of God's people. God said to the Jews, you know, others heard the gospel now and then, but to you, I've held out my hands all day long. You want God to hold out his hands to your children all day long, calling them, guiding them, instructing them? And that's not an advantage. Thankfully, people that don't always understand all of these things, in their actions, they act contrary to their position. So to them, their children are outside the covenant. They don't have a relationship with God. But thankfully, the parental spirit kicks in. And so they teach their children to pray, "Our Father in heaven." They read to their children the scriptures. They tell them about the gospel. And I'm saying, why are you teaching them to pray? If you're consistent, then they don't have any relationship with God. But thankfully, because of your inconsistency, the children still benefit. You still read to them. You still take them to church. You still communicate the gospel to them in many ways. And I thank God for that. Just like the Apostle Paul says, I don't care that some preachers do it out of envy. I'm just glad that the gospel is being preached. So I say, I would be more worried if parents were consistent and didn't talk to their children in any of these ways. But I'm glad that they do. I'm glad that they do. Because that's what God's intention is for them, to bring them in the company. So the children are not saved by that. They have blessings, these blessings, but they're not saved. And I stress that point because that's the charges that are brought against us in terms of those that baptize infants. So we're making them into Christians. How ridiculous is that notion? There are Esau's and there are Jacob's in our families. And however much you think, you can't change that. I can't change that. Isaac couldn't change that. So not all our children are going to come to faith. And that's regrettable. And that's a heartache that we have to live with. But God doesn't do that. God encourages us. God teaches us to raise our children in the fear of the Lord. And all of these blessings of being in the covenant are part and parcel of that. Of course, you put an unbelieving spirit anywhere and it will not believe. You can put an unbelieving spirit in heaven and it will not change, i.e. the devil and all the angels that fell with him. But that shouldn't minimize the blessings that God bestows upon his people and those that come to faith in due time. It was a blessing for them. And it will be evidence of stubbornness of heart to those that live in that midst and turn their backs upon the Lord Jesus. People of God, God is gracious. How awful it would be for parents to enter into a relationship with God of salvation and look at their children that are outside and God has no concern for them. And that would be awful. But no, God receives them. And in fact, when we come to Corinthians and look at that passage, even the unbelieving husband is sanctified for the sake of the children. Even they benefit because God is so gracious and wonderful. People of God, what we did this morning with the children was not insignificant. What they receive from God is not insignificant. It isn't 100% guarantee of salvation. It certainly is a glorious promise that if you heed the things that you are taught, if you embrace the sacrament by faith in terms of what it says, in terms of the cleansing from our sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you too will be saved. And we'll do everything in our power to encourage them in that light and in that direction. And to support and help the parents do the same thing. And so as we receive the parents this morning, we equally receive the children. Do not hinder them. For to such belong the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that this morning
we can be consistent with all of your word. That we can be the same as Abraham. That we can enter into your covenant. And that you command us to bring our children with us. And to mark our children. To grant to them the privileges of being in your covenant. Of hearing your word. Of being surrounded by your people. And our Father in heaven, not just the influence of us, but of your hand being upon them. And our Father in heaven, we thank you for that. And even as we pray for the parents as they enter the church, we also pray for Jameson and Isla. And we pray that you would guide their hearts, that you would keep their hearts. And our Father, that one day we would be honored to hear their profession of faith and their taking to themselves these wonderful promises of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Our Father, hear our praises and our gratitude and bless us as we reach out to our children daily and remind them of these glorious truths. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is a stand and respond as we sing from the blue hymnals once again, number 37.